hear me? Yeah, it's good. As long as the sound is okay with you guys, so, yeah. You want me?
It's a double, just recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, good. I like that. So, good afternoon, everyone. And you probably found out by now that my name is Joshua. And so before the introduction, and I would like to give you some introduction. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. And I'm a middle school teacher in a public school. I teach 6, 7, 8. Anybody who is 6, 7, 8, raise your hand, please. 6, all right, very good. And anybody who is 8th grader, culminating this year? Okay, I see one hand, I think, two. Okay, wonderful. And how about 12th graders, seniors? Anybody who is seniors? Congratulations, you made it. And so this year, I have three kids, two, Jaira, Mercy, and Sather, and some of you may know them. So two of them, Jaira and Mercy, they graduated from college this year, both of them. One graduated late, one graduated early, so they happened to graduate at the same time. And Sather, last night, I attended his senior graduation ceremony. So lots of graduation, lots of speeches, and so I'm glad to be here, and to say at least, and I'm so glad that, thank you for your prayer and support, because this morning it was a little bit hairy, because, you know, I got to the airport real early, and I didn't imagine that, you know, there's a latent demand of all the travelers for the summer, and the airport is so crowded early in the morning, and the line is like, you know, going to a Disneyland ride is very long for the checkout. And then, so I quickly put, you know, everything on the bin, and I forgot my shoes. So as the conveyor belt was moving away from me, so I quickly took off my shoes and put it in the bin. And then when it comes out, only one shoe. Well, I only see my one shoe. I said, where's the other shoe? So I asked security, say, hey, can you find my other shoe? So, and then later there's another passenger and say, oh, hey, is this your shoe? And so I was very thankful that I'm here with both my shoes on. So otherwise it'd be like, how come you don't have your shoes on, right? So that would be really embarrassing. But as brother this morning introduced me and brother Caleb, that we from Southern California. And me and Caleb, and we go to the same fellowship. And I hope in these couple of days that you not only hear the messages, and of course you get to meet your friends and get reacquainted or acquainted. I hope you get to know Brother Caleb and myself, and especially Brother Caleb. Right? I mean, as we sit together at lunch, and then I don't know if you noticed, his last name is Hernandez. Have you ever wondered why his last name is Hernandez? I mean, of course, you know, my last name is Dang, and that's such a boring Asian last name, right? So Hernandez, such an interesting name. You should go walk up with him and ask him. And of course, you know, they have, I can tell a lot about my brothers, but I'll save for tomorrow. But I think you should, I encourage all of you to go walk up to Mari and Caleb, and they have such a interesting jobs, or a lot of interesting that he is a very talented guy. You know, I'm not so talented. But he can fix a lot of things and things like that. And so I hope these couple of days that, and don't be shy. And I say that with all sincerity, because, you know, they treat my kids as their own. So they really love the young people, and so I think you don't need to be afraid, and then you should you know have a chance to talk to them. I know last time when they are here, then it's pandemic, it's hard, and some of you are online, and so it's difficult, right? So that's that. And the one last thing I wanted to share is about this place, Redwood Christian Park, I don't know, it was humpting years ago, started coming with, you know, my kids. I was just talking to Peter. You know, all my kids out there are little, and I remember they are playing with the coos at the swing set, and so that must be a while back. And I remember that the late night snack with the chews, and you know, the standing room only. You know, you thought you were going to clubbing, but everybody just having fellowship with a cup of noodles. And and I remember running through the woods with Brother Eddie and with Sister Elaine. And then I remember one year that we were running together, and Sister Elaine said, "Well, I'm just going to run with these bell-bottom jeans." I mean, do you know how hard to run with bell-bottom jeans? And she kept up with us. She's amazing. So these memories stuck in my head. And finally, I got to come to Nelson Hall, because I always wondering, you know, because that's where the youth meets. So finally, I got here. Oh, this is what Nelson Hall looks like. Okay. Very nice place, very cozy. And so today, so that's my introduction of introduction. As you know, my topic is, you know, if anyone wants to follow me and take up the cross daily and follow me. So that is my, that's my theme, and that's my burden. And I really thank Micah and the pianist, and those hymns are well chosen. And, you know, because the hymn speaks of give your best to the Lord and surrender yourself to him. And that's exactly what the Lord has placed burden on my heart. And so before we begin, and let's read some passages. And actually, it's in your, it's also in your handbook, right? But let's go. Perhaps we can go a little bit further, read a little bit more. So let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'm so sorry, I'm setting a bad example. I'm using my phone as my Bible, but please forgive me. I'm an old man, I'm 52 years old. And I have trouble seeing the words, and so I have to play with the font. So I apologize, and I should have bring a paper Bible, you know, as the handbook indicates. So thank you for those of you who actually got a paper Bible. And so so let's go to Mark 10, and Mark 10. All right. Let's read about the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. And are you there, rich young ruler? Okay. So let's go to verse 17. And we're not going to read everything, okay? We're going to skip around a little bit. Let's go to 17. Can we read together, aloud, together, whatever version you have, and I understand, so let's just read it together, okay? So let's go. As he was setting out on the journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay? Good. So now, verse 23, okay? Let's go. And Jesus, looking around, and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." All right. And verse 26. They were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Okay. So that is the rich young ruler. And let's go to... We're going to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. And then this is about Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship. Okay. And so let's go to Luke 14:28. Let's read together. For which one of you, then he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if has enough to complete it? Okay, is that okay? And by the way, if you see somebody who may not have a Bible or who needs help just to locating the passages, please give them a hand, okay, or just show them the passages, okay? If I'm going too fast, please let me know. And verse 31, let's read together. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter one coming against him with 20,000? Okay? And last set of passages is Luke also, but we're going back to chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And this is about Simon Peter's encounter with our Lord. Verse 5. Let's read it together. Simon answered and said, Master, we work hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you said and let down the nets. Verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Let's just stop here for now. Can we bow our head in further word prayer? Lord, thank you that we have a place to meet, and what a beautiful place to meet, and with the wonderful brothers and sisters. And Lord, we thank you for your love, but we also thank you for the love through the brothers and sisters. Lord, after seeing the skit, look at all the preparations, after all the service that we have witnessed so far, and Lord, we thank you and for your love, and for the love of brothers and sisters. And also, Lord, for these couple of days, may we have a chance, either in private or public, and we say, Lord, I love you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today and tomorrow, I would like to break up two segments, and basically, I would like to talk about what does it mean to carry a cross. What does it mean to follow the Lord? And there are five guideposts. They are not the only five guideposts, but for the sake of the sharing. Now, there are five guideposts, like the airplane when they touch down, and they need to make sure they line up according to the light post as a guide so that they can find the runway and land safely. So these are simply just the guideposts. And they are not necessary the whole gist, but simply gives the idea, what does it mean to follow the Lord? And what does it mean to carry our cross daily and follow him? And so today, I will only share one post. And tomorrow, Lord willing, I would like to share the rest of it. But as we read earlier, that about these parables or Lord talked about counting the cost. But before we begin, I would like to ask you that maybe you can jot down something on your notes or handbook, and you don't have to answer me, that this is just between you and the Lord, and that you don't have to share with your friends, okay, unless you want to. What is cross mean to you? What is the cross mean to you? I'm not looking for standard answers. Please don't be afraid. I'm not your teacher. The final is over. You can relax. In fact, I'm not on the hot seat. You should be very relaxed, right? So I want you to be very honest with the Lord. What does What is cross mean to you? What does cross mean to you? Excuse me. And the reason why I wanted to, I think this topic came to my mind. One of the reasons is that I so wish that when I was younger, that I will give myself to the Lord wholeheartedly. I so wish that if I would do it over again, I will surrender myself more completely. And not that I don't do, but I just feel that it's a lesson I wish I knew earlier as a Christian. Because I think what makes Christian that is that we are follower of Christ, right? Otherwise, you know, the Christian has the word Christ in it. And also, it's like saying that if what makes Christian is that we follow the Lord, and that we follow the Lord and we take up our cross. And so cross, but according to the Lord himself, is something that we must have. So because the Lord himself, he says, if anyone wants to follow me, right? If anyone wants to follow me, and one must take up the cross daily and follow me. So this is something that the Lord himself said. So it's not that, well, you got to read your Bible 100 times. It's not that you got to take, you know, 6, 7 AP classes. It's not that you got to pray, you know, 2, 3 hours every day. It's not that you got to go to every single meeting in the week. It's none of the above. To be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, you got to carry the cross. And we all know that the cross is not something just on the outside. Though, it's nothing wrong that you wear a cross on the outside, or you have your bumper stickers, or that a t-shirt that you wear. There's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, my mom wears a cross as a necklace. So, but I think the Lord he's talking about here, we all know that, I think this morning, and also the song leader talks about the external versus the internal, right? So it's not enough that we have something external that, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, or I wear a Christian attire, or I let everybody know around me that I'm a Christian. But what makes Christian is that a follower must take up his cross daily and follow him. So that's why earlier I asked you a question. What does cross mean to you, right? What does cross mean to you? And I think to me, you know, the Bible does not make a distinction between a believer and a disciple. So let me clarify that a little bit. When we say somebody is a follower of Jesus, the Lord said to the disciples as they ascended to heaven, he said, make disciples of all nations. So he doesn't say that, oh, well, just preach the gospel and they believe and that's good enough. Or he said that, as long as they obey the Ten Commandments, that makes everything all right. So, Bible that when it talks about believers and the followers and being the Christians, I think there's no distinction as far as you as a follower of Christ that you carry your cross and follow him. So what I'm saying here is that while one cannot be a Christian, if I understood correctly, without the cross. If I say to an athlete, I say, well, you know, what's my all three of my kids, they play water polo. They say, well, I'm a water polo player, but I don't like to get wet. How can you be a water polo, but you don't get into the pool? That's impossible, right? Well, you say that, well, you know, if you talk to a football player, you say, well, I'm a I'm a football player, but I don't like to get hurt. I don't like to get hit. Seriously? Well, you must have a very good lineman. So what I'm saying here is that, I mean, I'm using a very trivial example. So how can a Christian be Christian without the cross? How can be a follower of Christ without the cross? Is that even possible? So it's not for those. So what I'm saying is not for those people who are studious Christians, who are serious Christians, who have offered themselves Christians. I think the message is for each one of you, each one of us. It's not just for those who are selected, that we think they are better than us. It's not for those who we deem that are pious, right, or studious. The message of the cross is for each one of us. Make no mistake. And that's what the Lord asks of us. When our kids were little, and we love to listen to Focus on the Family episode radio, a series called Adventures in Odysseys. Raise your hand if you have heard Adventures in Odysseys. Okay, if you haven't, that's okay. Every Saturday morning, and one of the Christian channels, they play Adventures in Odysseys. My kids have, sadly, they have grown out of it. But you know, I love to listen to the Adventures in Odyssey even today. Because in the Adventures in Odyssey, there is a place of a gathering place, is an ice cream parlor, it's called Wits End. It's after the a gentleman named, a fictitious gentleman, John Avery Whitaker. So it's called Wits End. I like that place and I like the name because when kids or adults sometimes they come to the end of themselves, and that's where they converge sometimes at the ice cream parlor, and then they have this conversation either with Mr. Whitaker or with others, with other Christians. And so I hope by the end of this retreat that you also come to your wit's end. Like what Micah let us sing earlier, that you surrender to him. Because I'm going to lay out the foundation of which there's no one who is able to carry the cross and follow him, except the Lord himself. If you think what you have jotted down, what the cross is to be, is difficult, it's hard, I'm totally with you. But I can tell you, the cross is not your schoolwork. The cross is not your parents. The cross is not your frenemies. The cross is not that brother or sister that you don't get along. The cross requires our full surrender to him. That's what I think the cross is. So let's dig in. Earlier, we read about a story which there is a rich young ruler that came to see Jesus, right? And then this rich young ruler, you know, and it's recorded in all three Gospels. And he was described in this way. He's a ruler and he is young, and then toward the end, the Bible says this ruler was wealthy, was rich. Just imagine that somebody who is the class valedictorians. Just imagine, and by the way, last night, there was a special recognition for a selected students who have I don't remember if it's 4.0 or 5.0, but no, I don't think it's 5.0. It's a 4.0 GPA since freshman. I was thinking to myself, is that even possible? As you can tell, I'm not a straight A student. I was never a straight A student. So I was thinking to myself, was that even possible? And few heads actually popped up. I said, oh, wow, that's really amazing. You know, so imagine that there is a 4.0 or 5.0 straight A student since freshman. And imagine that he or she is a class valedictorian. Imagine that here is a ASB president. Imagine that this person is well appreciated, and everybody recognize that this student is perfect in all his or her ways. And basically, he has checked off all the lists. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these things for my youth up." Well, maybe, don't worry, I won't ask you to raise your hand or stand. Maybe there's some of you are like that. I'm not. And even if we have such person in our midst, like this rich young ruler, there is something he is looking for. If he has found what he wants, if he is so sufficient, then why is he coming to Jesus, right? On the brochure, it says coming to the king. If he has everything, if he got it, if he made it, then we should be looking up to him, if there's a such person here. But no, he's coming to the Lord because there is something lacked in him, right? And he said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life?" You see, he got everything. He got the wealth, he got the fame, he got the position, and he is very moral, highly ethical. But he does not have assurance of eternal life. If any one of who are sitting here, if you do not have the assurance of eternal life, make sure you have it before you leave this place. And then make sure you talk to Jesus. And Jesus Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack." He thought, okay, there must be another checklist, right? I didn't commit adultery, I didn't commit murder, I obeyed my parents, I'm a straight A student. So what is that final checklist? "One thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." And in the New King James Version, it says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Okay, there's some versions of that in some manuscripts. And he went away saddened, go away grieving, and because he owned so much property. Now you might think, well, I'm not crazy rich Asian, so that I'm just crazy Asian. It doesn't apply to me. So, right, because you know, I'm not wealthy as this guy, right? I'm not a straight A student, so this does not apply to me. But as you read on, the disciples were astonished. They say to Jesus, "Then who can be saved?" Now, if this only applied to, forgive me to use the term, model minorities, right? That phrase is very controversial. Let's say, you know, model minorities, right? So if this is only applied to the model minorities, the disciple will say, well, wow, Jesus, then it is truly difficult for wealthy, upright, a citizen to be saved. No, that's not what they said. They said, then who can be saved? That means anybody. That means you, me, and everyone else. Thank God. Verse 27, Jesus looked at them, the disciple, and Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Earlier, Jesus was saying that it is really impossible. How impossible? Like a big, gigantic camel going through the eyes of a needle. That's how impossible it is. So for these 2 days, hopefully that you're convinced that it is impossible for us to carry the cross and follow him. For if it is possible, he will not have to die for you and me. If carrying the cross is one of your laundry lists that you can check off, I tell you, it's impossible. I have tried it. The only way one can carry the cross is surrender to the Lord Jesus. In the 80s, there was a song sung by Whitney Houston. It says, I believe the children are our future, which I do too, by the way. That's why I'm an educator. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride and make it easier. Right? And let the children laughter remind them. And there's a phrase, so I don't want to sing the whole song. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me. And she go on and sings, if I fail, if I succeed, at least I will live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away. Excuse me, my dignity. They can't take away my dignity. Brothers and sisters, whether you are A student or not so A student, we all have dignities, right? We all have self-respect. Nobody likes to be called a loser. And I'm sorry, I choked up because the Lord came. He lost all his dignity. You know what I'm saying?
And whether you're the president of a company or whether you're the homeless, we all have dignity. The Son of Man came. He came to lose all the dignity. For you and for me. Do you know what I'm driving at? Regardless what is your status in your school, regardless what your status in church, that we are all wealthy. We are all have dignity. Now, just in case that doesn't convince you, when we read earlier in Luke 14, we read some of the excerpts. A great crowd went with him. So what we read earlier in Luke 14, the backdrop is this, that a great crowd gathered to Jesus. And Jesus turned around. Now, if you have lots of fans, lots of likes on your social network, on your social whatever, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, right? And you will be quite happy that, hey, I have so many friends and people like me. But guess what Jesus said? Seeing all these followers, if any man comes to me and shall not hate his own father, mother, and wife, and children, and brothers, and sisters, yes, and his own life too, he cannot be my disciples. And whoever does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. Well, that will get you followers. No. Jesus was never after the numbers. And I will talk more about that tomorrow, but because of time today, that I would like to highlight the phrase, if you don't love the Lord more than you love your own life and carry your cross and come after me, and you cannot be my disciples. And there he gave two illustrations in one. He said that if you want to build a tower, don't you sit down and count whether you have enough to finish it? If you wanted to wage a war against another king, don't you sit down and consult with somebody that you're able to fight with your 10,000 with their 20,000? So I call this CPA, not the Certified Public Accountant, but I call it counting. I call it, you got a plan. A stands for analysis, so CPA. Right? So when I mention CPA throughout the sharing, then you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? So Jesus saying that if you want to follow me, not only that it is impossible, that you have to follow me with eyes wide open. I'm not here at this weekend to try to inspire anyone or try to stir up some emotions. I'm not here to convince you. As I said earlier, yes, you can follow him. No, on the contrary. The Lord says, if I'm going to run a marathon, and I haven't run for ages, then you need to be prepared that how grueling and how long the marathon is going to be. You have to be trained. You have to be prepared. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to finish, and people will laugh at you. Because there's a cutoff, right? There's a time cutoff. You can't just keep walking and walking and walking, right? So, quickly, that these two analogies, may I call it, that Lord Jesus gave is not that, well, too bad I can't finish the building. Well, too bad I can't win the war, so just give it up. No, on the contrary. I think the whole point of this passage, when Jesus turned around and say to his follower that you need to carry the cross, come after me, otherwise you cannot be my disciple, is that you need to think clearly. You need to think it through. To be a disciple and a follower of Jesus, you have to have your eyes wide open. It's not by some emotional, stirred up feelings. It's not by some whimsical things that you heard and you decided to follow him. But it's that you come and you do the CPA, and it's a reality check that Jesus wants us to have to be a follower of Jesus. And if you sit down and count the cost, if you say, Lord, it is impossible. It is absolutely no way I can do this. Then I think you and me is in a good place. Let me repeat. If following the Lord and carrying our cross is so easy, then he will not have to die for us on the cross. There is a hymn that goes like this. When I come to the end of myself, O Lord, you are there. When I come to the end of my strength, O Lord, you are there. When I come to the end of all that I have, and I fall on my face before you, I will always know that you will meet me there. Brothers and sisters, let's encourage one another. That is a good place to be, and that is where the Lord can work in you and in me. So first guideposts. We know Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, they are fishermen. And the Lord met them, and in particular, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And then he told his brother Peter, hey, we saw the Messiah. And then Jesus met Peter and said, come, Peter and Andrew, come and follow me, for you'll be the fisher of men. But when we get to Luke chapter 5, Peter apparently went back fishing because he said, Jesus, we fish all night and caught nothing. Right? So somehow Peter went back to fishing. But Jesus said, but Simon Peter says to Master, but at your word, I will let down the net. And doing this, a great multitude of fish, and their net was being torn. There's so much fish, as if that the fish can't wait to jump into the net. The net is about to break. And then they signaled the other partner, hey, come and help us out. And then, guess what? There are so much fish that the boat are sinking. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm Simon Peter, I will be rejoicing, I will be thanking the Lord that, thank you, Jesus, I got to take this morning, Eddie was talking about taking classes. I got into the class I wanted. Hooray. I got everything I needed. I'm all set. I'm set. Was that Peter's reaction? Seeing this, Simon Peter fell at the knee of Jesus saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, Lord. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Peter is a professional fisherman. Jesus was born and raised as a carpenter. What does carpenter know about fishing? Besides, with all the crowds gathering at the seashore, with Jesus talking, people coming and going, you scare all the fish away if you ever fish. And if they have, Peter knew, as on the back of his hand, of where the fishes come out, when the fishes come out. If there's no fish, there's no fish. But what Peter saw the other day is not that he hit the jackpot. What Peter saw is not, wow, that's wonderful. What Peter's reaction is, woe to me, I'm a sinful man. You know, I want to leave the message today with you is that how can a sinful man follow a holy God? If we know how sinful we are, if we know how holy he is, there's no way that we can follow him. But I'm so glad that Jesus did not leave Peter. It's not that we try to follow him. It's Jesus was holding on to Peter. I think it's no less than a miracle that they caught so many fish that the net is going to break. Not only the net's about to break, the boats are sinking. But to me, it is also a miracle that Peter worked, fished all night and caught nothing. You see, in the Disney movie, Cars, I remember that the very first movie, Lightning McQueen said to the Doc, "You have 3 piston cops. You are Hudson Hornet." Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody watch Cars? I know this side of the room, they are very studious. They only read Bibles, they don't watch movies. So only this side of the room raise their hands. That's okay. I'm with you. I'm very secular. You're Hudson Hornets. You have won the championship 3 times. Look at these trophies. Doc Hudson answered, "You look. Oh, I see. Excuse me. All I see is a bunch of empty cups." You know, U2 singer Bono, he sings that, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." Right? And Rolling Stone sings, "I can't get no satisfaction." The people in the world are shouting, they can't find satisfaction in the world. We as Christians, do we realize that? Jesus, without Jesus, all these cups and trophies that we have at home are just empty cups. And by the way, my kids, they play music, clarinet, and piano. They compete in water polo tournaments. I have a couple empty cups, small ones, not like
Doc Hudson.
But you know, I pray for each one of you, and for myself too, that life without the Lord is just a bunch of empty cups. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do, you know, as we sang, you should really strive and do your best for the Lord, right? You should obey your parents, and you should give your best to the Lord. But I pray that the Lord will let you see and let me see that in this life, our accolades, our praises, our trophies on the shelf, they are just a bunch of empty cups. Look, Lightning McQueen and Doc Hudson, I don't think they're Christians. And they're telling us the world is empty. And where is our answer? Where do we go? I pray that the Lord can take us to the Galilee seashore, that all of us in our private, we kneel at his feet. We say, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You are a holy God. There's no way a sinful man can follow a holy God. Because he saw those fishes was not an accident. He saw the creator of the universe in Genesis 1:1. It was not a merely man. It was Elohim. It was the great I am. So Lord, let's bow our hand and pray. Lord, our life is not defined by going to Bible study to Bible studies. Lord, our life is not defined by going from youth retreat to youth retreats. But Lord, I pray that at this place, at this weekend, it will be a turning point for some of you. It will be a turning point for many of us. That Lord, that we will bow at your feet and say, Lord, there's no way. I have done my CPA. There's no way I can follow you. The price is too high, and I'm too sinful. I want to keep my dignity. But Lord, your word said, with man is impossible, with God it is possible. So Lord, we bank on that. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank our brother for his word this afternoon. At the beginning, before he shared with us, he did ask each one of us a very thoughtful question that we really want to come before the Lord. We're thankful that the Lord has brought us here. We enjoy the time together, but we want to also mean business with the Lord. So when we have some time, in your quiet time, do come before the Lord and ask the Lord to show you, as we have sang, as our brother have shared, what does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to each one of us? The Lord has a cross for each one of us, because as the illustration our brother shared, it is impossible for us to share about the Lord, share as believing in the Lord, following the Lord without the cross. So the Lord has a cross for each one of us. So let us come before the Lord in a simple, pure way, honest way. Lord, what does cross mean to me? Before we break for dinner, just a couple of quick announcements. Looking at the schedule, it's dinner time right now. So after dinner, as you can see, it's from 5:30 to 6:30. There is discussion at 7 o'clock. So whether you eat quick or you eat slow, you have some time in between. We do ask that you do come back here